Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Marion Bernstein, and I will be your host for today's show. Joining me here in the New York City office is Dr. Philip Young, author of the easy-to-read instructional business book, Buy Low, Sell High, The Simplicity of Business Finance, which we'll be discussing in more detail during today's show. Welcome, Phil. It's great to see you, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Marion, and it's good to be here to talk with you.
So before we delve into our Q&A on the book itself, I'd like to first provide our listeners a bit more on your background, Phil. For all of you listening, Phil Young is a corporate education consultant and former MBA professor with over 30 years of experience designing and teaching seminars and education programs in finance and strategy. His clients have included leading global companies such as Google, Microsoft, IBM, American Express, MasterCard, Verizon, and AT&T. He's taught courses for these companies in over 30 countries around the world. He's also an active member of the Duke Corporate Education Global Learning Resource Network. Whew, that's an impressive resume, Phil. So, as I mentioned earlier, we're here to learn more about your latest project, Buy Low, Sell High, The Simplicity of Business Finance, which is essentially a book that's about business finance for non-business trained people. I'd like to dial it way back and first ask you, in layman's terms, what is business finance?
Essentially, business finance is a body of knowledge that helps people to understand how and why a business makes money. This body of finance could be found in a more formal setting if you studied it at, let's say, in college, under Accounting 101 or Finance 101. But really, at the end of the day, what this information will help one to do is not only to understand how and why your company will make money, but how you can help with you and your teams, your company, to increase and improve its financial performance.
And what inspired you to write this book about business finance for non-business trained people?
At the heart of what I am, and I know you mentioned that I do have some credentials and experience, I consider myself to be a teacher. And I've always enjoyed, as a teacher, to open the doors to information and knowledge for people, particularly those who may be hesitant to open these doors. And I find that, for whatever reason, people in business of all types and all levels of responsibility tend to frown on or avoid finance. Perhaps they're thinking it's a little too complicated. It may not have something directly to do with their jobs. But at the end, I think what happens is that people are looking for a way to understand finance in a simple and practical way and in a way which will help them in their careers. So that's why I wrote this book.
Interesting. And why is business finance confusing to the non-business trained person? And how do you mitigate confusion in your book?
Well, as I say in the opening chapter of the book, there are essentially three reasons, at least that's what I believe. One is that finance people tend to use different terms for the same concept. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, but every once in a while, it's hard enough to understand the concept, and then finance people will tend to use different terms. For example, the term revenue is often used interchangeably with the term sales. And in fact, in the UK, they may call it turnover. Profit can also be called earnings. Gross profit margin sometimes is referred to as gross margin. And of course, there's my all-time favorite, operating profit is sometimes referred to as earnings before interest and taxes, namely, as an acronym, EBIT, which goes to my second reason why I think sometimes finance can be confusing. Finance people tend to use a lot of acronyms, EBIT, EPS, and these acronyms are also very confusing. And finally, in fact, last but not least, there's a problem of people trying to understand the presentations of the numbers themselves, because as I explain in my book, these numbers are presented using the principles of, ready for this, accrual accounting. For example, I like to say that as a senior citizen, I enjoy a discount going to a movie. But essentially, what does that entitle me to? Essentially, it entitles me to a free bag of popcorn. And every time I pass the popcorn stand, I can't resist. And I ask for a small bag. And you know what the clerk immediately says. Well, sir, for a dollar more, you can get a medium-sized bag. And we know about that, too, because what is the clerk really saying? Please give me another dollar's worth of profit. In other words, the gross profit margin on a bigger bag of popcorn is huge.
I see. So what specific types of professionals do you think should buy this book? You mentioned maybe people who work for larger organizations. So what types of professionals would really gain from reading your book?
Well, my experience in teaching essentially a course called Finance for Non-Financial Managers over the years is that every level of profession, professional responsibility, every function, perhaps except for finance itself, would definitely benefit from reading this book. And one of the things that I think could also happen is that for finance people, reading this book might also help them to communicate more effectively with non-financial people.
I see. And how about millennials, since we make up such a large portion of the workforce now? Why should we buy this book?
Marian, that's an interesting question. By coincidence, the other day, I just happened to come across an article where millennials make up almost half the workforce now. So they are the largest group of workers in the U.S. workforce compared to, let's say, the Gen Xers and the boomers. So your question is essentially, why should everyone buy this book? And my answer is that regardless of your age, or your responsibilities, or the type of business you happen to be in, I would imagine that you want to advance your careers, improve your standing within the company that you work with. And I think one way of doing it is to be fully aware of how and why your company is making money, and more important, how you and your team can improve the financial performance of your company. This is essential, I believe, to the advancement of anyone in an organization of business.
Okay, so whether we're a millennial, a Gen Xer, or a boomer, we're all in the same boat where we're all looking to improve the financial well-being of a small business or the larger company that we're working for. So that's great. It sounds like we're all in agreement there. But now when the time comes to actually practice the tools outlined in Buy Low, Sell High, how can we do that as the readers relatively risk-free? I don't want to lose any of my personal money, and I certainly don't want to lose any of my company's money. So how would I do that relatively risk-free?
Well, that's an interesting question, Marian. I think one of the things that people sometimes comment on, especially if they're not in finance, is when they study finance, they say, well, how can I apply it back at the workplace? Most people don't often have an opportunity to get involved directly with affecting a business numbers. But what I like to show in this book is that perhaps it may not seem to you as obvious, but you do in some way or another have an impact on the financial performance of your company. A simple example of this is, suppose you happen to be in sales and your manager is telling you that one of your major accounts is relatively slow in paying. And to try to talk to the senior people in your clients to make sure that these payments are on time. What you're essentially doing is helping the company, your company, to improve its cash flow by reducing its accounts receivable. So in one way or another, even though you may not see it directly, you do have an impact. And by the way, I've developed, over the years, I've developed a business simulation, which I call the Beacon Simulation, that enables you to practice this with colleagues in a company in running your own business, making business decisions in a safe, risk-free environment in which you're competing with others. and I think that might be the kind of experience that you may be referring to in a simulated business competitive environment.
Interesting. Okay, so hypothetically speaking, let's say I'm just prepping to launch my own bakery and I want to learn the basics of business finance before I sink my entire life savings into this corner shop. Why should I take the online Beacon Business Simulation course as opposed to an intro to business admin course at my local college? What are the benefits of Beacon?
Well, the benefits of Beacon, or I'll be honest, any simulation, is that you get to try it yourself. It's more of a hands-on experience rather than reading a book or doing a case or trying to study your instructor's PowerPoint slides. You get to run a business. You get to make business decisions regarding price, production, marketing, development. And then you can see what happens relative to your competition. So it's a way of, shall we say, I would call this action learning.
Interesting. And you've taught in corporate education programs in over 30 countries around the world. What are some key differences in how business finance is viewed in these different countries?
Well, perhaps you might think that I'm being too simple by saying that finance is finance, no matter where you are in the world. But essentially, it's true. If we want to get technical, different parts of the world may use different accounting systems, etc. But sales is sales and profit is profit. What I find interesting about looking at different countries in the world is that from time to time, different countries or companies within these countries actually have different objectives or goals. So you might be surprised when I tell you that I've actually worked with some companies or I'm familiar with companies in certain countries where making as much money as possible is not the ultimate goal. You have other goals such as creating jobs for people or being a good citizen in the community that either are as great as or maybe even greater than the idea of making money. So it's good to know the principles of finance, but at the same time, it's good to understand the objectives of the companies and countries in which you are operating in.
Okay, so let's bring it back to New York City for a moment. Let's say that I'm someone who's just launching a small business in New York City. Give me three main things, three pieces of advice that you would give me.
Well, one of the most important, I think, is for you to understand your market and whether or not there's a sizable demand for your product. Now, that sounds like maybe a marketing professor rather than a finance professor, but nothing is done unless a sale is made, and that's essentially the top line of any financial report. So a good assessment of the potential revenue that you think will be generated, not just when you open the business, but some sort of projection, at least over the next 6 months to a year. The second is that you need to be able to have an adequate cash flow to keep your business going and growing as you take advantage of the marketplace and generate the revenue. It's sad to say that there are a number of businesses who say, our sales are so great, why are we going broke? It could be the balance between the inflow and the outflow of cash. If you're selling a lot, but at the same time, you have to have lots of supplies and your suppliers are demanding to get paid right away and you have to wait until your customers pay you, you could be in trouble. So watch the cash flow, I think, is very important. And the third thing may not be immediate, but you should get some idea of whether the return in profit or cash flow, however you measure it, is going to be a fair return relative to the amount of money you had to invest in at first. So in a sense, what we have is revenue, cash flow, and return on investment.
All right, sage business advice indeed. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us for today's LID Radio podcast with Buy Low, Sell High author Dr. Philip Young. If you'd like to know more about Phil and his work, on the LID Radio website, you'll find a link to Phil's latest book, Buy Low, Sell High, a link to his finance consulting company, Phil Young Consulting, and of course, links to Phil's LinkedIn and Twitter handles. Please don't be shy. Feel free to connect. Thanks so much for joining us today, Phil.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Marion.
And to our listeners out there, we look forward to reconnecting during our next episode of LID Radio. Until then.